Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to teach them that they should always pray and never become discouraged. In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that same town who kept coming to him and pleading for her rights, saying, "Help me against my opponent." For a long time the judge refused to act, but at last he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect man, yet because of all the trouble this widow is giving me, I will see to it that she gets her rights. If I don't, she will keep coming and finally wear me out." And the Lord continued, "Listen to what that corrupt judge said. Now, will God not judge in favor of his own people who cry to him day and night for help? Will he be slow to help them? I tell you, he will judge in their favor and do it quickly. But will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he comes?"
When the Son of Man comes, will there be faith on earth? How would you answer Jesus' question? In our world today, for yourself. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. What story would you tell about not losing heart? About the need to pray always? It is easy, looking at our world today, to lose heart, to become discouraged. A week ago, Hurricane Matthew tore along Haiti, the Bahamas, and the east coast of the U.S., leaving behind a path of devastation and flooding. Our hearts ache for all those who were caught in the swirling, destructive winds, especially when we see the pictures from Haiti. People dying, houses being washed away, livestock, gardens, livelihood gone. Yesterday's paper stated that it could take a decade to recover from the loss of trees, mango, grapefruit, banana, avocado. How will Haiti rebuild just 6 years after the earthquake being hit again? Paul and Rebecca Shelter-Fast, who are MCC's, Mennonite Central Committee's, representatives in Haiti, were sharing their experience of delivering relief a couple hours north of Port-au-Prince in the mountains. Passing through villages and clusters of houses that do not appear on maps, miles from the nearest paved road, many hours from the nearest medical clinic, and nearly a full day's walk to the market where people normally sell their produce to purchase necessities like medicine, oil, and clothing. When Paul asked the local government official why this region showed zero damage on the latest UN maps, the man grew angry. How would they even know? No one has come to look. No one has even asked. MCC is one of two organizations working in this area. And within 72 hours after the rain stopped, delivered all their aid to this region. This is only the beginning of a long path to rebuild their lives and their communities. But for Paul and for the MCCers, the story begins and ends with the resilience and perseverance of the people and the communities they serve. These are human stories of dignity and strength in the face of loss. Marinez Flores is a single mother of 8 small children, 3 girls and 5 boys, who has lived in this community her whole life. After her husband died, she made a living on their small, steep mountainside gardens. After several years of hard drought, the rains were good this year, and she invested all she had in seeds to fill her gardens with the hope of a good harvest. When the storm came, her mud-walled house shook and trembled, and she and her children were terrified. In a big gust, one wall fell in, smashing nearly everything she owned, clothes, pots, pans, a Bible. Soon a second wall crumbled, sending rocks raining down on her and her children's heads. They grabbed what they could and ran to the neighbor's house. As the rain cleared, grateful that everyone was alive, she took stock of the damage, her fields destroyed, seeds washed away, everything that had been inside the house gone. "We just thank God we are all okay," she says, as she and her children start to rebuild the mud walls. It is easy to lose heart when we keep hearing about the continued fighting in Syria, where fresh waves of airstrikes hit the divided city of Aleppo, where Roy and I used to visit and walk through the ancient covered markets and to the citadel at the top. A war has left hundreds of thousands dead and over 13 million people displaced. Will it ever end? It is easy to lose heart when we watch the news about yet another shooting in another city, or read about another case of abuse, or when we face into the death of someone gone too soon. This week, Lisa Heft, Mennonite Central Committee's volunteer coordinator, died at the age of 40 after a short struggle with cancer, leaving behind a husband and three daughters, ages 15, 12, and 10. It is hitting the MCC community hard. Will the Son of Man find faith on earth? Or will we lose heart? We might start looking for faith right here in the Gospel of Luke. Where does Jesus talk about faith? And who does Jesus admire for their faith? There's a centurion who believes Jesus will heal his slave even from a distance. Just speak the word. Or the sinful woman who anoints Jesus' feet and loves much. There are the friends of the paralytic who are willing to dig through a roof when they cannot get through the crowd. Or the bleeding, unclean woman who touches Jesus' clothes in the crowd and is healed. There's the Samaritan leper, one among 10, whose gratitude turns him back to Jesus, where he falls at his feet in thanksgiving. And the blind beggar later in this chapter, who sees Jesus for who he is and keeps calling out to him. So maybe the answer is yes, there will be faith. Faith on earth. But maybe it is found in unexpected places. Not among the scribes and Pharisees in the temple, but among those on the fringes, unclean, foreign, sinners, the blind, the powerless. One of which shows up in our parable today about the kingdom of God coming. As Jesus talks about the widow and the judge. Widows in the ancient world were incredibly vulnerable. They were usually listed with orphans and aliens as those persons needing special protection. Widows were supposed to be cared for because they had no means of their own and no protection from disaster. They are the ones we wouldn't be surprised to have lost heart because of the situation they find themselves in. Yet there are pictures in the scriptures of widows who stepped out in faithfulness and generosity. There is Anna, who appears as prophetess, spreading the good news of Jesus' birth. There is the faithful widow who gives generously her last two coins. Or the widow Jesus mentions in his sermon in Nazareth, who fed Elijah from her meager supplies and whose son is raised to life by the prophet. Here in our parable, the widow comes with faithful persistence. Alone, she confronts the judge, apparently without anyone who could help her and go with her or plead her case for her. In Jesus' day, women weren't even allowed to testify in court. Their voice was not heard. The widow is in an utterly vulnerable and powerless position. She has no way of getting leverage with the judge. She's up against some pretty long odds. And yet, she persists in her pleas for justice to create enough pressure to influence the judge's actions. Actually, she's not just pleading, she's demanding justice using an imperative. Vindicate me. Within the Jewish community, judges are recognized as the leaders of the tribes. On the other spectrum from the widow, wise and reputable individuals commissioned by God to shepherd God's people, to make just decisions about the cases brought before them. These are people of power and authority. Now, the judge we have here in our parable is corrupt, an unjust judge. By his own admission, he neither feared God nor had respect for people, which means that he paid attention to none of Jesus' greatest commandment. He neither loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, nor his neighbor as himself. That is all we know about this judge. He represents the kind of judge who in ancient Israel turned a deaf ear to the poor and needy, who gave verdicts that favored those who could return the favor with money or power. A twisted kind of justice that Israel's prophets railed against and had warned that God's judgment would destroy. It reminds us how persistent is the evil and injustice in our world. As we listen to Jesus tell the parable, we notice that the widow's persistent approaches are not met with a change of heart by the judge. He states clearly himself that he does not fear God nor respect people. What he fears is the loss of his status or reputation. He gives in because he fears he's coming to harm. What is literally said here in the Greek is the widow is striking him, giving him a black eye. We don't know if it is meant literally or figuratively, whether it causes him physical harm or just publicly embarrasses him. In any case, for very selfish reasons, and not because he seeks justice, does he give in to the widow's demands. God is nothing like the unjust judge. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. God will listen to our pleading. But how do we hold that when we have waited thousands of years for Jesus coming again? When we see injustice done where God's justice does not seem to come quickly? How do we keep praying and not lose heart? Julie Perry, former chaplain at the Fluvanna Correctional Center for Women, talks about how God answers prayer not in a way we expect or hope for. Are God's answers often not about giving us the outward things we wish for, but the inward changes we need? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Comforting but difficult words. Persist in prayer. Do not give up, but ask over and over and over again. Being faithful in prayer, even when answers are not apparent or different than when we expect. Going back to the list of the people Jesus commanded for their faith, Dorothy Jean Weaver, professor at Eastern Mennonite Seminary, says, prayer is the gut-wrenching desperation that digs through roof tiles or claws through the crowds to reach the healer on the other side. Prayer is the unimaginable trust to believe in a miracle sight unseen. Prayer is the sheer audacity to throw all caution in the wind and break every rule on the books in a scandalous and highly public display of love and repentance. Prayer is the utter impertinence to cry out loudly and persistently for healing and justice until those cries are heard. This is the prayer to which Jesus calls his disciples. One day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. And a wind swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. And the disciples went to Jesus and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. And Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" The Gospel of Mark puts it this way, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" In another story, the disciples find themselves in a boat in the storm without Jesus, who is walking across the water toward them. And when the disciples see him walking on the lake, they are terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cry out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking toward Jesus. But when he notices the strong wind, he becomes frightened and begins to sink, and cries out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you waver?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter and the disciples lost heart, lost courage, and gave in to their fear. A chapter earlier from our text today, Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come." To which the disciples replied, "Increase our faith." And Jesus' response was, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed." It doesn't take much. Walking on water, Peter had not been able to overcome his fear. Later on, when Jesus prays for Peter that his faith may not fail, Peter again is not able to overcome his fear and denies Jesus. And after Jesus' death, The disciples are found fearful in the upper room after Jesus' death. Henry Nouwen, in his book A Cry for Mercy, says, "There is so much fear in us, fear of people, fear of God, and much raw, undefined, free-floating anxiety. I wonder if fear is not our main obstacle to prayer. When we enter into the presence of God and start to sense that huge reservoir of fear in us, we want to run away into the many distractions which our busy world offers us so abundantly. But we should not be afraid of our fears. We can confront them, give words to them, and lead them into the presence of Him who says, 'Do not be afraid, it is I.'" Our inclination is to show our Lord only what we feel comfortable with. But the more we dare to reveal our whole trembling self to Him, the more we will be able to sense that His love, which is perfect love, casts out all fears. One of my early mentors used to say, Mennonites pray through their songs. And one of the songs that has been coming up for me lately, and that Anna and Maria sang at Ben and Peter's wedding, is called Oceans. And it talks about the courage and confidence to walk on water. The refrain goes, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior." Let us pray. Merciful and holy God, we know that you are the one who has called us, and we are grateful. May we not lose heart, but walk out onto the waters of our fears with courage. May we walk out onto the waters of the injustices in our communities, in our world, with courage and confidence, knowing that we are held up in the power of your love. Help us to move inward toward the heart of Christ and outward into the loved and weary war-torn world. For we know that you have called us and sustain us and redeem us. Amen.